As I continue the focus, and I know that God lays these on my heart, the focus of what it means to follow Jesus. Well, you see, it means something special to you, because I have not been given the gift that God has given you. You have not been given the gift that God has given me. But God says, I love you so much, every single one of you, I want you to know that I will place in your heart that which is good. Therefore, you and I realize that that is in our heart is bad is not of God, right? Now, you all have heard me preach sermon after sermon illustrating that baggage that we carry around with us. You know, the ball and chain with all of the sin and all of this. Okay, you know, we drag it, and I say, you know, you accept God's forgiveness, and would you please leave the chain at home and the baggage? That has nothing to do with what I'm going to tell you today. Because I think there's another side of the story that preachers like me have missed preaching. The other side of the story is this. Yes, we realize that we carry around a lot of guilt. I mean, we just do. Well, preacher, didn't the Lord say give it to him and don't carry it around? I'm not saying that God didn't tell us not to carry it. I'm saying we do. Anyway, it's a part of our makeup. But now God gave us a blessing. And in this blessing, Christian, God has shown us his love through his son and through the wagon. The wagon. Everybody in here has a wagon of life. W-A-G-O-N, of life. Now, this wagon, you can tell, does not belong to me simply because it's plastic. In my day, we didn't have plastic. Or if it was out there, we couldn't afford plastic. But God says, now let me give you this. Satan's going to give you all the guilt trips, all the garbage, right? You got that part? But the Lord says, in this wagon, here's what I want you to do. It gets a little crippled. It's hard to pull. But you know what the wagon is? The wagon is the part of our life that's filled with all the good stuff. Now listen to me. It's filled with all the good memories. Family, mother, brother, sister, the gift that God has given us in prosperity, whether it be the gift of lands, gift of money, or whatever it might be, that's still a gift from God. So you and I have in this wagon a gift, and all the gifts, we have them sitting right here, and we pull these through life. Why? Because they're important to us. Family is important to us. Life is important to us. Making sure we can take care of our family is important to us. Well, if we realize it's important to us, keep reading the book called the Bible. Because any point in our life that we give our heart to Jesus, then all the good in our life is important to God. God says, I blessed you with that full wagon of names, gifts, yes, prosperity and life. I blessed you with it. Now, what are you going to do with it? Well, Lord, I've been pulling it around, you know, ever since I could pull. And the good things, you know, I have them itemized. They're in here. And I know where to pull each name out, each good event in my life out. But the story today is about the wagon of all the good gifts, of all the good that God has given us. And he said, now what are you going to do with it? You will hear Randy and I both speak so often about the stars in our crown as Christians. You know, you know the blessings of walking with the Lord, and you get this, and then what do we do with it when we go into heaven? It's not for our glory. We take the crown and we set it at the foot of Jesus, because it was all him, not us. It's a gift we give to him. We forgot something, folks. We've forgotten to do the same thing with the wagon, with all the good in our life, with all the land, with all the things even. It's a blessing from God. So what are you going to do with it? I'm going to keep pulling it around, and I'm going to look in it and see if anything's changed. Let me read a story. And from this story, you will see Christ talking to us truly about the good wagon, the wagon of our life that has all those memories. And then he says, let me tell you the secret, Christian, that unbelievers do not know. I will tell you exactly what it takes to have 100 times all those blessings while you're still here. Mark 10, verse 17. We understand that there's a question that's in the wagon. Now, the question differs because, see, lost people, those who do not know Jesus, still have the good wagon, all the good thoughts, all the good things. They've still got it. They just don't have Jesus and his name in here. So the Lord looks at us and he says, now, if you are my child, you're going to focus your life on looking to eternal life, or eternal life with him. And it begins at the point of when you said yes to Jesus. My eternal life has already begun. The eternal life of every soul on earth has begun. Choice must be made. The Christian and the wagon has a name called love, forgiveness. The Christian has eternal life, and they look at it. The world looks in their wagon, and these are good people. These are people who do good for communities, who do good all around. Not bad people, but the good things are in there, and they look for eternal youth, the fountain of youth. Go back to Ponce de Leon, but the fountain of youth. They're looking for that. You and I look forward to an eternity where Satan does not exist. So why do we think that all of the baggage we carry is what we think about more than all the blessings we have? There's a reason for that. Mark 10, 17. As Jesus started on his way, he's going to Jerusalem, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? So Jesus looks in his wagon. Jesus looks inside of this young man. And as he's looking in the wagon, that life wagon, you'll find in a second that Jesus loved him. He was a good man. He had done good. But Jesus loved him so much that he wanted to teach him how to have 100 times more hope, peace, love. You know, the happiest family in life will be a family that can feed their family, that have a roof over their head, and that can take care of their family. All the extra, that's a gift from God. So God said, use it the way you please. Some please to use it for the good of others. Some please to use it for themselves. which is not a sin, folks. You got to catch this. God said, did I not give it to you? And as I had given it to you, is it not in your freedom to do with it as you please? The sin comes in is when you dedicate it to God and then don't give it to him. I'm talking about your life. I'm talking about your gifts. Jesus, after looking in his wagon, he says this in Mark 10, 18 through 20. He says this to you and me, folks. Why do you call me good? Now remember, 17, this young man comes up, falls on his knees. Now, he would not just fall on his knees to anybody, because he was, as you'll find out, a very wealthy young man. But he falls on his knees and he says, good teacher or good master. He's referring to God. Now, how do I know that? Matthew 10, 18 through 20. Why do you call me good? That's the only question Jesus asked him. Jesus answered his question. No one is good except God alone. So Jesus is saying, you're recognizing me as God. That's a good thing. You've fallen on your knees and you're looking at me as God. And then Jesus says this. He does not ask this question. He makes a statement as he's looking at this young man. And he says, you know the commandments. And he goes over six of them, I think. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your mother and father. And then the young man makes this comment. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Now, Jesus did not embarrass him by saying, no, you didn't. You just think you have. You know why Jesus did not embarrass him? You read in Scripture, Jesus tore the Pharisees and Sadducees apart with embarrassment. He would embarrass them in front of everybody. But he didn't, this young man. Because Jesus is getting ready for the declaration back to him. Listen well to it. Mark 10, 21 through 23. Jesus looked at him and loved him. Jesus looked at him and loved him. You do not find that comment, folks, where Jesus is fighting the false preachers or the false teachers of God. But he looks at this young man, and we know that he loved him. So he looks at the young man and he says, one thing you lack. Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor. Now, pay attention to that, because I hear this scripture misquoted all the time. The scripture does not tell this young man to go sell everything you have and give everything you have to the poor. It does not say that. He says, sell everything you have, because he's getting ready for an invitation here, folks. Sell everything you have and give to the poor. Not all of it. Give as you would give to poor to help them. And you will have treasures in heaven. Now, here's the point. Then come, follow me. You see the love? Jesus looks at him, and the scripture tells us Jesus loved him. Looked to his heart and said, this man has a good heart. There's only one thing that he lacks. What's that one thing he lacks? He's got a wagon full of good. But he does not want to trust the wagon full of good to God. And God didn't say, I want you to give me the wagon so I can give it to everybody else. He said, let me have the wagon so I can bless you. more than you could ever be blessed. Those of you who invest, no one has ever told you, and if they have, don't invest, that you'll receive back 100 times more. But when Jesus makes such comments and an offer, follow me, he meant follow me and leave this right here with me, because I'm going to do something in your life. I'm going to use you, young man whom I love. I'm going to use you, and I'm going to train you, and I'm going to teach you, and my word is going to be a part of your spirit. And Jesus says, follow me. Do you remember when Jesus was picking his disciples? When Jesus walked through to pick his disciples, he did not say to everyone, follow me. He said to 12, leave what you have and follow me. And the 12 did, and one was the devil. Jesus said so. And Jesus says, these blessings, yes, Lord, they come from you. Everything. Everything I have comes from you. Then why don't you let me handle it for you? Trust me. But Lord, those 401ks and a lot of investments are looking pretty good. Listen to the rest of the story. At this, the man's face fell, meaning his countenance fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Now, here's what was bothering the disciples. In the Hebrew culture at this time, those who were wealthy were blessed by God. Those who were not had sinned some way against God. The lame, the blind, well, their family did something against God, and that's why they are hurting. That was the belief. So the disciples are listening to him, and the disciples are starting to worry. Whoa! Lord, our culture says that the more we have in our wagon, the more blessed we are by you. And you just told this young man, whose wagon was mighty full of good things, you told him to follow you, but he turned away, and you said that those whose wagons have been blessed and are full are going to find it hard to enter heaven. What's going on, Lord? We've learned this throughout our own generations, Lord. Mark 10, 26 through 27. Listen to the disciples. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, if you'll notice scripture a lot, the disciples normally gripe between themselves. They don't do it in front of the Lord because they know they're going to get chastised. So they said to each other, who then can be saved? So that's where that comes from. Many people say, I get confused on. Don't get confused, because of the culture said the more in the wagon, the more blessings from God. And these disciples of the Lord are saying then, who can be saved? If those who have a wagon full of good stuff, those who the Lord looks at and says, I love him, who can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but not with God. With God, all things are possible. They had fallen back on a culture or a tradition, and Jesus had come into their life, into our life, to rid us of the foolishness that you can get caught up in tradition and even culture. Well, why do you do those things? I don't know. It's always been done around. Why do you do these things, at Thanksgiving dinner? I don't know. We just have always done it. Reminds us of something we've always done. Does that make you bad? No. You got the good wagon. But Jesus says, I sell what was in this wagon. And this is a lesson he taught his disciples, and he will teach us. Mark 10, verses 28 through 30. Peter said to him, we have left everything to follow you. See, the disciples are getting a little shook up here. They thought that the culture is the part that they should be following. Jesus has come, and what did Jesus say? Follow me, follow me. Jesus did not say follow our culture. Jesus said follow me. That's how you know, and I know as Christians, that we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I am a Christian with a personal relationship to Jesus Christ. I don't even like religion. I love personal relationships. That's where you have your friends. That's where you have your family. And the disciples are saying to him, Lord, you know, we've left our families and all. But you'll find if you study pretty close, a lot of the families traveled with them. But continue to listen. I tell you the truth, Jesus replied. No one, he catch no one? That means no one. No one who has left home, brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields, what you have, for me and the gospel, no one will fail. No one, look at verse 30, will fail to receive 100 times as much when in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, and with them, persecution. As long as we're in this world, folks, there's going to be persecution. As long as you pull the good wagon, somebody's going to persecute you and say you're a religious nut. Or say, why do you believe all of that stuff? How can you make it in the real world? Well, let me ask you this. How can you make it in the real world without all the good stuff? Without the hope? Without the peace? And of all the sin that has been in my life, the majority of which I brought on myself, out of all of that, I have hope every day. I now have peace every day. I now get excited when I'm reading this stuff, you know, or you do it from the doctors or whatever, you're reading stuff and says, you know, you're going to die. Well, I already knew that. I know that. The body is going to quit. But no, the spirit will never die. The real you inside of there, you're not going to die. It's just where you're going to spend eternity that makes the difference. But I've got all of the good things. And the Lord says, I will give you 100 times what's in your wagon in this age, but persecution. And in the age to come, eternal life. You see, you and I, we see the hope in the age to come. Those teachers and prophets of the Old Testament, where did they see their hope? They saw the hope in the age to come, or the church age, because the Messiah is coming, the real and true living God. It's coming to earth. And they preached it. They taught it. They believed it. But do you know something? None of them got to see it. They didn't get to see it, yet they still believed it. Jesus comes. Jesus ministers. You see that in the four Gospels, Revelation. You see Jesus ministering throughout the New Testament, referring back to him. And what is he saying? I want to give you a peace that surpasses all understanding. It's not about how much you have. It focuses on how much that you have in the good wagon has God blessed. Sometimes, folks, we continue to pull around good ideas, good thoughts, and something that was pleasurable for us. We still have it in the wagon. And God will bless it. Hey, you listen well. The Lord says you enjoy the fruit of your labor. Okay, where's the key? The key, I can have all the fruits of my labor. You can be multi-wealthy, have all the fruits of your labor, but what are you going to do with it? Do all of the fruits of your labor then, have they become your God? Things that are going to perish? You know, I cannot pull my wagon into heaven. Nope. I can't pull it into heaven. Jesus doesn't need a wagon. The scripture says that his angels will escort us to his arms. Why do I want to worry about the wagon? I'll leave it here. Let everybody fight. Think of life. Life with peace. That's the best thing I have in the wagon. The best thing I have in the wagon. But do you know what the Lord says? When you leave your wagon with me, Larry, I'll give you 100 times more. Not 100%, 100 times more. Here and into age to come, eternal life. You know how this scripture hit me this time? I'm getting ready to go to the next age. And when you know the age is coming, the age of the Lord is coming. He's coming back. Folks, he's the one who created the planet we're on and all that is in all universes. He is the creator of all. And he said he's coming again. They yelled at the prophets and said, all these years, John the Baptist, here you are yelling, make straight the narrow way. That's what you're here for. Because the Lord's coming. And he hadn't come yet. And when he did come, they didn't recognize him. Why? They didn't have the hope. They knew the scripture. And they said, this is of God, if it would be to their benefit. And the Lord came. And then the Lord comes back from the dead. Now that really messed it up. Satan, once Jesus conquered death, Satan had no authority over you or me ever again. Well, when he conquers this, people still die. No, they don't. I'll leave this body, but I'm not going to die. The Lord's going to give me a new body. Going to give you a new body. We're going to be pretty and handsome. Whatever that means. In the eyes of God. And he says, leave your wagon with me of all the good. You walk away from your home, your brothers, sisters, mothers, or father, or children, or fields, and you do it for me, I'll give you so much you won't know what to do with it. Many young people would say, well, how can I have the money to truly live a great life? How do you get all that stuff? when you don't care whether you have it or not. When the love of Christ means more to you and a soul bound for hell means that you'll walk away from your family, you'll walk away from your home, you'll walk away from your church if God calls you to go to that individual. And when you go and you come back, the Lord says, count your blessings if you can. Please, folks, that's the Lord's message. The good you have in your life will be 100 times better here and then in the world to come. You think about something. Isn't it going to be great when you're walking or among the streets or whatever God calls them in heaven, being with the Lord, and an individual comes to you and says, thank you for teaching that. Thank you for preaching that word because it was the word of God that touched my heart. You see, that's why, let me give you one little short class here. That's why that it can't all be figured up until the end, till God says, that's it, nobody else to be saved. Because you see, the person that you led to the Lord, the person that saw enough Christ in you, that individual wanted to see more of Jesus and they ended up accepting Christ, that goes down for a check mark for you. But it keeps going. Think about all the blessings these disciples are going to have. I preach them every Sunday. But that person then leads that person to the Lord and to the Lord and to the Lord, and it goes on down. You see, the Lord doesn't tally it up until the end. That's why the Lord commands us, take what you have, give it to me. For whatever you do, don't give it to a preacher or anybody else out there. Give it to the Lord. And as you give it to the Lord, watch him give you the ultimate joy. You know what the ultimate joy is? Hope and peace. That's why our kids are on drugs. They're looking for a better way. They're wanting to get out of this life some way. That's where alcoholism comes from, not being able to deal with life on a daily basis. So we want to leave reality. And then we wake up and reality is staring you in the face. Folks, that's the word from God. As I've told you in my ministry, I know God's calling for my life. I know when he calls me here. I know when he calls me away. You and I, we are of God as Christians. You and I, with the gift that only God could give us, he loves us and doesn't see the faults in us. But that's part of the key to life, to peace, to all of it. To where you know the Lord. And when he says speak, you speak. And when he said that's enough, that's enough. One day the Lord says, prior to his second coming, the pulpits will be silent. They will beg for the word to be preached, and yet no one to preach it. They will look for hope, but how can they see hope? How can they have hope without the word? How will they know the word without a preacher, without the teacher of the word? Hold on to the peace that only God can give us. And folks, don't worry about your wagon when you leave it with the Lord. It will be so beautiful when you come back. You'll want to pull it around and throw out the blessings to everyone around. That's God's life. That's his hope. But you have to know in your heart what God is calling you to do. And when you're at peace with it, the world better move out of your way. There's a time for everything. for weeping, for joy, for sadness, for hurt, for pain, for excitement. And the Lord says, I will only give you the good parts. So why do I look to the other dude, Satan? Why not look to the world? All they've ever given me, the world has, and my worldly lust, is a heartburn, sickness. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for your love for us. And we pray, dear Lord God, that you will remind us that everything we have in that wagon we're so proud of is a direct gift from you. It's a hope that only you can give. And Father, through that hope, I pray, Lord, that you will touch each of us in that special way. Shake us up, Father. Remind us again and again and again that that peace can only come through you. Thank you for such blessings. We ask your blessing now on each one in Jesus' name. Amen.